KFK 90.7 in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara. Right now we're being joined by Deborah Oros from the Bus Riders Union, who is a lead organizer of the Clean Air, Clean Lungs, Clean Buses campaign. Deborah, welcome to the show.
Hi, Damon.
So I think one of the things I want to start off with is that you have two kind of big victories. I want to start off with the Student Pass campaign that you guys have been fighting for. One of the things
We guys.
I think one of the most interesting thing is when I was living in San Francisco, you can just go into a liquor store, give them $8, get a student pass, don't have to show ID, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas when I came back to Los Angeles, the student pass basically had to have transcripts, picture. At a certain point, I think you even had to have a social security number. So the result of all this is that only 3% of the actual students that were eligible actually had this pass. So why don't you start off by just talking about what were the tactical moves over the last few years that you guys actually have moved to eliminate the student pass?
Sure, great.
On the application. Thanks.
Well, like you just referred to, this is an issue the Bus Riders Union's been working on for about 4 years now, since 2001. And it's a really exciting victory for us. When we first went to MTA in 2001, what we asked them to do was to eliminate the application process completely and to sell passes on school campuses right where students are, instead of forcing students to essentially go through what was akin to applying for a U.S. passport. I know I just, you know, reapplied for mine, and it's exactly the same process that they were forcing students to go through to get a simple bus pass. And they immediately refused to do it, and their response was that the fact that less than 3% of eligible students got the bus passes was just because there was low demand for the pass, that there was no problem. So we continued to organize students and parents and teachers. We took people to testify at MTA board meetings. We started holding school campus meetings, you know, all over the city. We talked to school principals, and we demonstrated to the board that there was, in fact, vast unmet need for the accessible pass. And so then the MTA began to argue that they just couldn't change the process, that they needed all of these different bureaucratic hoops in order to keep students from cheating the system. They would get fraudulent passes. This is all a matter of fraud. And then they argued that it was really more of an issue for LAUSD and other school districts, that they were responsible for getting students to school, not MTA. So then we went and we worked for over 2 years with the Board of Education at the LAUSD. We worked with Genesia Hudley Hayes when she was on the board, with Jose Huizar, with Mike Lansing's office. And the LAUSD board passed resolutions and told MTA, we will work with you to eliminate this application process and get our kids to schools. So that created a new form of pressure for MTA to start to have to look at this when they had one of the biggest school districts, the biggest school district in the county, saying, we think this is a problem, and we are willing to work with you to fix it. Still, MTA stalled and then started claiming that basically what we were asking for couldn't be done, that they just simply don't have the administrative capacity to go to schools and help students sign up for student passes and eliminate the wait time and give students access. So the BRU showed MTA how it's done. We then went out to Cleveland High School in the Valley. We went to Crenshaw High School, and we worked with the teachers and the administrators there to set up our own booths in the schools to help students sign up for the passes. We took our own digital cameras. We even took our own photocopier to make copies of all of the ridiculous numbers of documents that MTA required students to bring. And in only 3 days at each of those schools, we signed up over 10% of the student body. And that was just in a very short time. And just to say, in a poll that we took of students, about 80% of them had never had a student pass before. So we significantly increased the number of students that had passes simply by just going to them and helping them fill out their applications and then sending them in, and all of them got passes. Then, even with all this pressure, MTA had really been at somewhat of a standstill in terms of action on the issue for the last year publicly. But then earlier this year, the MTA, or the BRU, actually, we put the issue in front of the federal courts. We've been calling it a civil rights violation politically, of course, for the last 4 years, but we actually brought it in front of the court in the new service proceedings that we're going to talk about actually in the next part of this conversation. and we proposed that eliminating the student pass application process be part of MTA's obligations under the consent decree and under the new service plan obligations. So there's all these different factors happening from LAUSD to the courts to students in lots of schools, from community colleges to high schools organizing. And as a result, I think of the various layers of political pressure and then legal pressure that has been happening in this last March, so just about a month ago, MTA announced that they were eliminating the application process for K through 12 students and that we had essentially won our demand.
And they accredited to you. They said that thanks to the bus riders, you know?
Right, as they always, always are sure to give us credit. They claimed that this had nothing to do with the bus riders union, when obviously, you know, everybody knows that we're the ones who initiated the campaign from the beginning, including, you know, LAUSD board members who graciously, you know, kind of worked with us and thanked us and appreciated the work at meetings we had with them after we won the demand.
Deborah, if there are parents out there and high school students out there, which we hope, otherwise if we don't have parents and high school students who's listening to the show, but
Haskell Wexler.
Haskell Wexler, that's right. So if Haskell wants to get a student pass, but tell us immediately, like, if you're a family, what do you do now? What does the victory look like? How do you proceed?
Right. Well, people should know, I mean, one of the big questions now is how successful can we make this program? Because there's no sign from MTA that they're actually going to put sufficient or even any advertising into it. So the first thing is we encourage people to get out and get the student pass. What you need to do, now there's no photo requirement for the pass. So K through 12 students who want the pass or parents who want to get it for their kids need to go to one of the MTA customer service centers. There's six of them in the county, and ask for a reduced fare card, and they'll receive it the same day. And then each month, they simply have to go to whatever store sells MTA passes to get the sticker that they put on with the monthly pass. Now, in terms of what you have to take with you, high school students are required to show either a California ID or a student ID when they go to pick up their fare card. And parents of K through 8 students who come to the MTA center without their child have to bring a report card, or if they have a student ID, they can bring that. If they bring their child with them, they don't have to bring anything else. So it's a pretty simple process. The second part, though, is that, and this is one thing we hope will really be expanded, is that MTA is talking about working with LAUSD to have this be available right at the schools. And so another thing parents can do is call the principals and administrators at your schools and encourage them to set up the program at the school site itself so that students can go. They don't even have to go to the MTA center.
And what's the difference in cost between the original pass, forcing people to buy the so-called adult pass,
right,
and the student pass?
Well, the regular monthly bus pass costs $52, and the K-12 discount student pass is $20. It's a $32 savings for every single student who gets this discount pass every month.
Pretty wonderful.
The other thing just to say is, you know, we really want people's help in publicizing the program. So even if, whether you have kids or not, or whether you need the pass or not, the BRU is going to high schools and libraries and health clinics and churches to talk about the program. And so people should really call us to get involved with helping to publicize it and getting the word out about the program.
And that number is?
213-387-2800.
And there's also information, I believe, on the website, busridersunion.org. So, Deborah, just I guess for maybe take less than a minute to talk about kind of what are some of the next steps in terms of this. I know originally some of the demands were actually lowering the price. They were actually expanding it to adult community college, whatnot. So why don't you take a little bit of that, and then we'll move into the new service plan.
Well, the primary thing right now is to publicize it, and really our immediate goal is to double the number of students who are accessing the K-12 pass. So getting the word out is a significant piece. Second, we do want to expand this to community college and adult school students. And one of our demands has been to reduce the price of all of the passes, the student passes, to $10. So from $20 to $10, and then the college pass is $30, and we want that reduced to $10 as well. That will be an ongoing piece of the campaign.
Okay. So the next kind of big piece, there was a recent court ruling around the new service plan. So the new service plan is a plan that calls for hundreds of buses to get to education centers, employment centers, healthcare centers, and whatnot. So why don't you give us a little taste of what the new service plan is?
And what the victory was first.
Okay. Well, about 2 weeks ago, Consent Decree Special Master Donald Bliss made a very significant ruling on the new service plan obligations that the MTA has under the Consent Decree. The new service component of the Consent Decree is the part that obligates MTA to expand bus service to schools, jobs, and hospitals countywide. And his ruling had a number of components. First, he ruled significantly that MTA has not complied yet with his obligations under new service, that they have no five-year plan for countywide new bus service, and they must implement one. So for MTA, who's watching the clock tick every day until the consent decree expires, or is set to expire in 2006, this is a significant blow, because their plan had fundamentally been to not implement a plan and to let the consent decree expire without ever implementing one. The second thing he ruled is that MTA has to significantly expand its bus fleet, its rapid bus fleet, and service. And this will mean, under his criteria, restoring a lot of the local bus service that MTA cut when it put rapid buses out onto the streets. And it'll also mean increasing the amount of night service and weekend service that currently runs on rapid bus corridors. Because MTA has implemented rapid bus as a so-called cost-neutral program, whenever they put a rapid bus out, they cut one of the pre-existing buses. And he essentially said, you can't do that. That's not new service. Third, he ordered MTA to look at the proposals that the BRU made in our own new bus service plan submission, where we proposed the expansion of freeway bus service and community shuttle service. And he ordered them to develop their own plan to improve those services. Fourth, and this is one of the most significant pieces, he ruled that MTA has to pay for all of these improvements to the bus system by taking money out of non-bus programs, including rail projects. This is very significant that he named rail projects as a source of funding. This has always been what the consent decree intended. And in other words, I mean, MTA had threatened to raise fares, cut bus service if they had been ordered to expand the bus system. And the order makes clear that the funds have to come from outside the bus system. They can't just be reshuffled within it. He said the MTA has to show the court exactly where the funds are coming from and when. And then last, on numbers, he ruled that MTA has to expand its fleet, its bus fleet, by a minimum of 134 buses, but that they must meet all the criteria that he set. So between all the criteria that he set, we believe that MTA will eventually have to expand its fleet by perhaps twice that 134 number. So it's a significant ruling in terms of the amount of resources that it calls for, the expansions that bus riders will see on the street once it's implemented.
Well, this is rather amazing, you know, I mean, because you see a way that Bush is just fighting and winning everything, and it's been difficult for the bus riders union to even get the white liberal community that's complaining about the rise of the right to understand the amazing nature of these victories, right? I mean, this is like, because one of the things is that if he says the MTA does not have a five-year plan, that means that if they come up with a five-year plan that goes past the duration of this consent decree.
That's right. And
I didn't realize, since I haven't read the decision yet, I'm sorry to say, so that I just heard I was going to ask you, I mean, it looks like they've been pretty much defeated on every legal argument they've made, is that right?
Yes.
Reallocation of funds from rail, we won?
We won every major legal argument in the ruling.
I think Antonio Villaraigosa must be thrilled by this, right? I mean, did he call you up to thank you and tell you how he wants to implement this?
Yeah, absolutely. The first call we received. I mean, you know, both mayoral candidates, when pressed, have said that they would support the consent decree and generally support more buses, and that's good. But the problem is neither of them, and Villaraigosa in particular, has made the consent decree even an issue in his campaign. And neither one of them has come out actively to say what they would do to implement the order. In fact, Villaraigosa was quoted in the Daily News saying he wanted to look at what reallocation meant. And, you know, the concern would be that because he has a list of rail projects about a mile long at the top of his list of transportation priorities as a candidate, from the Red Line to the sea to the Exposition Light Rail to a Green Line to LAX, the concern would be that those are the funds that are needed to implement this order, and both will not, the funds will not be available for both things. There has to be a choice made, and there's no real vision coming out of either of these candidates for how to meet the civil rights obligations of the consent decree, how to reduce air pollution in the region, or even in their parlance, to reduce traffic congestion. It's all rail projects, all freeway projects, and this order is where the funds need to be prioritized for.
Well, the good thing is we're going to have to move on to our next guest, Deborah, and I think one of the things that's great about the work that you've done is being the lead organizer and the lead theorist of this new service plan is that, very frankly, the federal courts are a check and balance against local governments, even run by liberal Democrats, that want to violate people's civil rights, which is why the right wing is going crazy right now about the court system.
That's right.
So, you know, this is an example of one of the main last remaining liberal legal decisions on the books right now, and we're sort of milking this, you know, as much as we can.
That's right. Can I say one word before
last
we go
word
what
and
people can do?
Please.
This Monday, a week from today, May 9th at 9 a.m., the MTA is going to be having a special board meeting, and they've said that that's where they're going to be discussing possible funding sources for this order. So we need, you know, as many people as possible to come to that meeting and urge the board to vote against an appeal of this order, because people should remember they've appealed every single major order they've gotten from the special master in the past, and not only vote not to implement it, but to vote to, I mean, not to appeal it, but to implement it.
Well, since we always say that, you know, the people that come to the MTA are Black, Latino, and Asian, they come from South LA, East LA, Picayune, we can't seem to get any folks, you know, from the white west side to cross Crenshaw, let alone to come down to the MTA. But if we happen to find a few great people of all races, give us the number again, Deborah.
It's 213-387-2800.
And the MTA meeting is Monday,
May 9th at 9 a.m.
Thanks so much. Great work, and we'll talk to you again.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So we'll be right back with David Goldberg and Rebecca Solomon around the recent progressive victory at the UTLA board.